Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in today. And today we're joined by Faith Landis. Faith, how are you doing today?
Good. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you today. I'm excited to hear your story. Sometimes people come in and I kind of know their story because I've walked with them, but I'm really excited to see already, as we were talking pre-recording, we figured out there's some pretty cool connections that are happening just around the church. And if you've listened long, you know that I care a lot about tapestry and pulling the threads of seeing where connections are and how God brings people together and how their paths cross. And so I think it'll just be really exciting for our people today to hear some of that that's been happening in our church and in your life. Today, Faith joins us. She is a part of the Kids Harbor staff and is a smiling face that we see in our hallways often. And so, Faith, thank you for being here. And how long have you worked at Kids Harbor?
Yeah, we're coming up on just about a year now.
Okay. Wow. And what is your role?
I am the administrative coordinator, so I get to share an office with Hope and fill the classrooms with kiddos and get to be on the leadership team with Hope and Peyton. So
we had to work with them. We had Hope 2 weeks ago on Hope Talks. I joked about that with Pastor Jared. He asked me if I had planned that, and I said, kinda. And then you came highly recommended by Peyton. So we got Faith, Hope, and Peyton, who Pastor Jared said in Hope's recording exudes love.
Yes.
So Faith, Hope, and love down there at Kids Harbor.
Yeah, we do joke about that a lot. So love it.
Yeah, that's great. So tell us a little bit about where you grew up. Start there.
Yeah. So
about your family.
I grew up not far away in Broadway. So grew up there. And then I stuck around for college, went to Blue Ridge and then JMU. And so I love the small town feel, but also like Harrisonburg's not too far away. So it can get, you know, we would come to Harrisonburg for like grocery shopping and just regular shopping and all the fun stuff like that. But I grew up on a farm. And so I feel like just through seeing my parents work and brother, like just seeing how hard they work. And so I feel like that's been instilled in me. And so that was a lot of fun just to be outside a lot growing up. And also grew up playing sports. So that was a lot of fun. Got to do a lot of traveling with that. And so my teammates from a young age, like elementary school when I started playing, became like family and their families were family. And so it was really sweet just to see the different relationships that were in my life. And so, yeah, went to JMU, which was a lot of fun, and really found like community there that was really sweet. I knew going into college that that was something I wanted to look for, was Christian community. And I had a lot of like role models when I was in high school that kind of showed me like what it looked like to follow Jesus in college. And so I knew that's something that I wanted to pursue and seek out. And so I feel like those were some really great years of just experiencing that at JMU. And yeah, so that was, I don't know, a little all over the place.
But there's a pattern. So in high school, who were like, are there specific people that just come to your mind that were just those role models?
Yeah, so I had a young life leader. When I was in high school, she attended JMU. And so there are some JMU students who go into the local high schools. And so my young life leader was a huge role model for me. She was a freshman in college when I was a freshman in high school. And she really just pursued me and showed me what, I guess it felt like to be loved by Jesus and just showed me Jesus's love. And she was the person who really, we met every Friday, me and a couple friends and her, for a Bible study on Friday mornings at like the local, the only local place to get breakfast. And so just seeing her pursue Jesus in college, I was like, wow, like this isn't the typical story that you really hear about like what college is like for people. And so seeing her live that out, I was like, I really look up to her and like, I want to pursue Jesus. And she just really like led the way for me, showing me what it looked like to do that. So
when did you come to Christ?
Yeah, I would say, so I grew up going to church. It was in, I guess like early middle school where I really like realized, just like made my relationship with Jesus personal. And so I feel like my family had a big part to do with that. I was lucky that my family, like, they all went to church growing up, and I feel like my brother, like, asked me a question one day that really got me thinking about, like, my relationship with Jesus and, like, salvation. And so it was, I think, sixth grade when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And so praise the Lord for that. And so I'm just thankful for the people around me who, showed me what it looked like to follow Jesus and for asking me questions that made me think more about my own walk with Jesus. So.
Yeah. You were just talking about the relationships and the friends and that middle school time, you know, when you came to accept Christ. And this is okay if you don't, but was there a specific moment or was it accumulation of different things that kind of strengthened your faith in those years?
Yeah, I think it was probably a variety of different things, just like seeing the people around me. Like, my grandma, I feel like, was a huge role model for me, too. Like, we would read, and my parents, too, but I spent a lot of time with my grandparents growing up, and so we would read the Bible together, and I just saw her serve in church a lot. Mm-hmm. And so just seeing how the Lord, like, worked in her life and how she honored him and glorified him in what she did. I feel like that really impacted me a lot. And so seeing all these other people really live out their faith, I'm like, wow, like, God is so good, just seeing how he's worked in their lives. And I'm like, that's something I want to seek out for myself, not just for all the benefits, but also I saw just through, like, hard times, too, of how they really leaned on the Lord and how he provided and sustained them through different things. So,
yeah, it's one thing to sit and read the Bible with someone, but it's a whole other thing to watch it lived out in their life. Like, there's just power in that. You see that true, well, this is what this looks like lived out. There's not a, you know, over here reading scripture and then over here we're different. Like, it's, you saw that lived out in your grandma's life. And I think there's just a strength in that. You have that to fall back on when you hit a bump in the road, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know, we said before on here, like, God doesn't have grandchildren. Yeah. You know, we're all his children and we all have to come to that place where the faith that we watched in the lives of others around us, we can't ride into heaven on that, right? That faith has to become our own.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it sounds like God just gave you people in your life and in different areas, even taking you through high school and someone coming along. And you said she pursued you, like she saw something in you that she wanted to help mine and pull out of you that relationship. And so that's amazing that you have a JMU student that is driving to Broadway to probably a little diner to spend time with some high school girls. And yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. And now you spend your days with little girls, younger than you, right?
No, it's definitely feels like a full circle moment. And even in college, like, because of that relationship with my mentor in high school, like, my heart really grew for just discipleship, and that continued through college too. I had a few different people disciple me, and the campus ministry that I was a part of was really big on discipleship and just like making disciples who make disciples. And so I feel like I really caught the vision for that, and so I have a heart for that too. So
I wondered about that, if that became something that you in turn, once you got in college, if you began to seek out others and disciple them.
Yeah. So the campus ministry that I was a part of, the first year I was in a small group, and then after that year became a small group leader. And so I had a co-leader, and so we met up with the girls in our small group weekly, and really, just got to do life with them. So we met up one-on-one to talk about, you know, the hard stuff.
Yes.
And all the life things, but we also, like, throughout the week just did a lot of things with them, because, like, discipleship, yes, we met up one-on-one each week, but we also really just wanted to do life with them in general, so bringing them along for grocery trips and just supporting them in different activities that they did and stuff like that, so.
Yeah. That's powerful.
Well, Faith, you mentioned about growing up playing basketball, and there was a local basketball camp here, and if you want to share about that.
Yeah, I grew up playing basketball, so love the sport, and I attended a lot of camps, but one that I really remember local is attending the Eastern Mennonite basketball camp, and my teammates and I always had a fun time there and learned a lot and grew a lot, and yeah.
So that was kids camp and then also the team camps.
Yeah, that they got to go to both of those, so.
Is there anyone in particular that sticks out during those years?
Yeah, I remember, like, how cool it was to see, like, the head women's basketball coach at the camps. Everyone was, like, a little bit starstruck. We're like, oh, there's the coach. And so Kevin Griffin, Yeah, got to not know him like super well, but just see him around. And his daughter got to see her play too. And so that was a lot of fun to do. So
I didn't realize that until you sat down here this morning that you have a history with Kevin, Pastor Kevin.
And Jasmine, his daughter, I think you said before the broadcast she was the team manager for Broadway High School.
If I remember right, when she was in middle school and I was on the high school team, she managed, so I got to see her, and she came through our camps as well when she was younger. And so,
That's really cool just to see those connections. And we recently interviewed Chuck Wanger, I think. That name came up, and I think you have some connections there, too, right?
Yes, Chuck. He's great. He was the athletic trainer at our high school, and so got to just see him a lot, spend a lot of time with him as he was at our games. And also, I didn't get to tell you all this before, but he also volunteered at a summer camp that I worked at locally, and so... Yeah, lots of fun local connections, but he's great. Like, a lot of good memories. I remember him and his son, too. He came along to, like, our state championship run, and so that was just a joy to be able to share that with all the people, and Chuck included. So.
And Isaac was part of our youth group here and has been on our men's retreat the last couple of years, and it's just a small world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely a small world. So there's been a lot of teamwork in your life. Through sports, how does that translate to working on a team? Has that impacted you? Has that taught you a lot that you bring into your job at Kids Harbor when you work on the team that leads?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I feel like I definitely learned a lot through playing sports growing up about teamwork. And I feel like, some of those things, like just learning to work together, like learning each other's strengths and weaknesses, or different gifts that we each have, and how they work together, how we can support each other well. So I feel like, that definitely gave me like an advantage going into like working on a team as well. So
I don't think I asked this at the beginning. You mentioned you're coming up on 1 year at Kids Harbor. How did you end up applying for that job or being interested in that job?
Yeah, good question. After college, I wasn't quite sure like what I wanted to do. So I actually interned with my campus ministry for a year at JMU, and then was on staff with that campus ministry at George Mason University. So I moved to Northern Virginia for a year. And just as my husband and I were just praying for what the Lord had next, we felt led to move back to the Harrisonburg area to be near family. And so as I was like looking through all the jobs, I was like, I don't really know like what I want to do. Nothing was really like sticking out to me. And then I saw the job listing for Kids Harbor, and I was like, oh, this is like seems like something I might like. And so it was just through a lot of prayer. And after like, and through the interview process as well, I just felt a lot of peace about that this is where the Lord would have me for right now. And so super thankful for this opportunity and that, and to be here. So.
And Pastor Margaret was asking about leading, you know, leading at Kids Harbor and pouring into, Pastor Margaret mentioned you're pouring into little kids now, but I think there's somebody else that's still pouring into you, Peyton and Hope.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super thankful to work on a team with them. I feel like through like the discipleship that I've experienced like in high school and college and just being a part of a team with them specifically, like they have just experience and they lead well. And so they've really taken me under their wing to teach me, and they're super patient, but also like great encouragers. And so, yeah, I'm really thankful to work on a team with them and to be able to lead alongside them.
And I think Angela Cole probably still comes for y'all's training days and still helps.
Yeah, I know. I've heard so many great things about her. Like, as I was stepping into this role, I was like kind of bummed, you know, that she wasn't going to be here. Getting to work with her, but getting to still see her in the hallway. And just, I know that she still like pours over this place in prayer. And so that's something I'm super grateful for. And just even seeing her smiling face in the hallway, and she's definitely a great encouragement too. So,
and you know, you're leading people who are leading the children. Like I know that you are overseeing the leaders of the ministry and loving on the children too. It's all a part of it. And I think about you had a team that led your team, right? You experienced that. I don't know why we should ever be surprised that God, he's preparing us. He's always preparing us for the next thing, right?
Yeah.
And when you can look back and just see the preparation that you've had where you had people that led you as a young child in sports and just all of the steps that you've went through. And it really does form your life, you know. And not just that, but the community. You know, you can walk into your office and, hey, you know, I'm here today, but I really need your prayer. And you know that's going to be a part. And that's the beautiful thing in Kids Harbor. You know, my grandkids attend there and love it. And just to see what they are learning. And that one evening, my granddaughter's parents decided that, you know, they needed to teach her the Lord's Prayer, and she already knew it.
Wow.
That's wild. You know, that is just, there's no price that you could put on that, right? Like, that is so valuable, what is being instilled in the kids. And you're overseeing helping that happen, right?
Right.
Because it mattered to you, and it matters to all generations.
Yeah. I just love how I mentioned that Angela Cole was pouring into you, Peyton, and Hope, and y'all are pouring into the teachers, and they're pouring into the kids. And when we arranged for you to come in here and share your testimony, I let Angela Cole know, and she said, I'm so proud of those girls and what they're doing there and how they're leading so well.
So we had a leadership team, right? For years, we had this leadership team, and there was a transition, and it's all new leadership,
right.
And I haven't seen a hiccup. You know, I'm sure you have seen hiccups. We don't need to hear about that. Yeah. But you know what? As I've never, like, the cars still pour in every morning to drop their children off. And I know the care is great that that the children are receiving, and the leadership for those that are there on the hallway. And so it's just really been amazing to watch that process and to see what. We'll go back to Angela. She's probably blushing. Hey, Angela. To see what she has poured in to leadership, and knowing that Peyton came up in the ranks from JMU and was here working in a classroom. And it's beautiful to see how God just uses all of that for his glory.
It's cool how coming up on the 25th anniversary of Kids Harbor is still running as strong, if not stronger, than day one.
Yeah, it really is a special place. I remember just like, after my first interview, I'm like, wow, like there's something different, you know, about like the people just through getting to meet Peyton and Hope in the interview, and just like the joy that you just feel in the hallway. As I was like getting toured around the different classrooms, I was like, wow, like this is definitely a special place, and you could just like feel God's presence and see God's hand in it all. So
yeah. I did want to go back just quickly. I think when there's a campus ministry that is as impactful and life-changing as what you've been a part of, I think that we need to name that.
Yeah. I didn't
so
realize
talk
I
a
didn't
little
see
bit.
The name.
Talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah. So it's Chi Alpha Christian Fellowship. And so it's really cool. Chi Alpha stands for Christ Ambassadors, like when you take the Greek and all the things. And so that was definitely a huge vision for the ministry, too, is just in all that we do and say, like, representing Christ. Super thankful for the people who said yes to, because the first year that I was at JMU, since I transferred in, was when Chi Alpha was getting pioneered there. And so super thankful for those people who said yes to pioneering Chi Alpha at JMU, because they played such a huge part in my walk with Jesus. And so it's really cool to see just all the campus ministries, but specifically how that one just provided so much community for me. And that was like, that's one of their, the anchors, they like to say, is real community. And so that was something I was seeking out going into college, and seeing how that was really important to them was really cool. And so, yeah, just really thankful for all that I learned, from those people, and even seeing how, like, I've taken from what I learned being a part of Chi Alpha to post-college, because that's the real goal of, like, making disciples and, but also, like, pursuing Jesus in college, but not just stopping there. Like, what can we teach people while they're in college so they can continue their walk post-college? So
college is a formative year. A lot of times kids, they go off to college, they're independent now, they can do what they want, but it's very important, you know, to keep pouring in at any age. But college age is, it's just really important to make sure that, like you said, that past college, you know, from high school to college and then past there, that the strand is not broken, so to speak, that faith strand, our walk with Christ. Glad that there are ministries like that, even on secular campuses, that are pouring into kids. It's very encouraging to hear.
Yeah,
I think it's important for our community to hear that. Yeah. You know, JMU gets some hard raps, and
right.
I understand that. But we can't judge every person right. by some of that demographic. So anyway, awesome. Thank you for being a part of the fabric of yeah. believers that really leaned into that in college and continue to lean into that right. post. And hats off to your mentor,
yeah.
Whatever her name is. Shout out to her because that's what it's all about. All about making Christ-like disciples.
Yeah. And I also found out from Peyton that you like to travel. So I should definitely ask you about that.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I had the opportunity in college to go to India and Egypt on short-term trips. And so something else that I feel like grew in college was my heart for the nations and just seeing God's heart for the nations grew my heart. And so I learned a lot about that through Chi Alpha. And so I got the opportunity to go to those two places in college, which was really cool, just eye-opening, seeing how the Lord is working even there. And so it was a lot of prayer on those trips. We got to, you know, have some conversations with people, but a lot of it was praying for good soil and over the hearts of the people there. And, yeah, people who are on mission there for Jesus.
Now, what part of India did you go to?
Delhi.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was really busy and lots of people. But it was also, I went to India during, it was like right when COVID was hitting. And so there weren't as many people out on the streets out and about, but we still got to see a lot of the city. Went to the Taj Mahal.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know our church actually has a connection to Calcutta, India. There's a pastor, Pastor AJ, who our church supports. It's called Maranatha Church of the Nazarene. And so it's cool that you mentioned India automatically, even though you were in Delhi and not Calcutta. But it was just cool to hear that that was one of the places that you had been.
For sure.
Yeah, that was what I was wondering, if you might have been to Calcutta. And then the other day, I was on Facebook, and I realized that there we know some people, your sister-in-law. Like, yes. I'm like, I know her. It's just amazing how we keep saying it. And I guess you grew up in Broadway, and I grew up in Dayton. So, you know, what are the chances that we're not going to know a lot of the same people?
Yeah.
But just to see, like, the family, your sister-in-law, and what a small community. But
yeah, it really is cool to see all the connections. Yeah. That was something, too, when I came here. I'm like, wow, there are already so many connections, and I'm still learning about more connections.
Right.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would like to share with us that we haven't asked you about?
I don't know. I feel like I've brought up, like, community a lot, but even seeing, like, yeah, like right now, something that was really important to my husband and I when we moved back was like community. Like, yes, I have family here, but getting involved in a small group and just seeing the power in like a small group of believers getting together to like study God's word and just share prayer requests with one another and really do life together. I feel like that's something that like you see a lot maybe in college, but after college, it's not as like, I don't know, like you don't see as many people maybe involved in small groups. And so I think, that's something that's really impacted my life that I want to continue to do for myself. And but also want to invite others into is just the power of community and being involved in a small group like post-college and just how that's been so impactful for me of even the people in my current small group, just seeing the way that they, just care and love my husband and I well, but also want to like lift us up in prayer and see us continue to grow in our walk with Jesus. So
it really takes us out of isolation, right?
Yeah,
like we can isolate, especially since COVID, we can isolate so easily and quickly and not even realize like that we are doing that.
Right.
And the extrovert that I am, I can find myself sometimes on I could just be alone, you know? And so, yeah, small groups are so important. And what I have witnessed I lead a small group, and to see people come together and they can sit in a circle and think they have nothing in common. Mm-hmm. And if we can come out of that isolation and be real, we find out we're not alone.
Yeah.
And the community, the power of community to come together to support one another in a place of no judgment, but to truly love one another. We need it for our own discipleship, but that's what Christ calls us to, right? To be in community and to walk together. I can't say enough about that. And I can see that that is something that you believe in too, is we can go to church. We can sit and listen to a good message, but yeah. What does it look like throughout the week? You know, right. If we don't have that place, because I don't know the size of the church you attend, but here, like, you can get lost really easy in the crowd, and to not have those connections of relationship, fellowship, discipleship, it can be a really lonely place to walk into mm-hmm. a congregation if you don't have that place where you're known.
Yeah,
well, Faith, you might have just answered this question, but we call this program Hope Talk. So what is bringing you the most hope right now in your life?
Yeah, you're right. I would say my answer is probably just the people around me. Just, being in a community of believers, but also just the encouragement. Super thankful for all, like, thinking about all the people I have around me right now, like, between the people I work with at Kids Harbor and my small group, and people I'm continuing to get to know in church and my family. It's just, really cool to see how the people that I'm walking alongside, following Jesus, can bring so much hope. Like, yes, my hope is in Jesus, right. But also seeing other people live out their walk with Jesus brings a lot of hope too. So,
and your faith has really come through in this, like, you know, not just talking about it, but walking it out day to day.
So as we kind of wrap this up, I just feel led to ask you, if someone, this is pulling on their heartstrings, and they're in a place where they don't have community, you've got to take those steps, right?
Yeah.
So what would you say to someone listening today that is really desiring community, but they just don't know where or what? What would you say?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, because I feel like as a small group leader in college, I was, you know, part of what we do is, like, when we were building a small group from the ground up, is going out on campus and finding people and inviting them. And so if you're on the other side of things, of like, or you're the one, maybe the one desiring community, easier said than done, but don't be afraid to, like, ask someone. Like, if you're in a local church, then just maybe there's one person that you've, like, connected with, like, maybe ask them about it. Or I know some churches have, like, if you want to connect, like, scan this QR code, right. Or, like, sign up, like, outside. Like, don't be afraid to go for it, because community is so, like, important. And I, like, have a hard time, like, going out of my way to like seek out stuff sometimes, just personality, but, definitely just not ignoring the call to reach out, to seek out community, because God, like you said earlier, like, it's part of his design for us to be in. And so as hard as it is to maybe step out of our comfort zone and, ask how we can get involved, I think it's super important that we do.
And yeah, I just would add to that too, just something that just came to my mind. We may go, I just don't even know. Like, maybe I don't have a church, or maybe, like, God is pursuing us, right? Like, he pursues us, and just pay attention to who he might put in your path, you know? Like, God, this is what God wants for us, right? So he's going to make a way for us. And so I would just encourage that person listening today to ask the Lord, show me, God, what do I do next? Like, if there's not a church context or a way that you can see might be the way to go, just ask God, you know, and then be aware of those divine appointments when someone's in front of us. I know he's done that to me many times when I had a question or something, and as a hairdresser, and, you know, someone would show up to get their hair cut and they actually had the answer. Just be aware of the relationships that God has already placed in our life that we might not see as the answer.
Yeah, that's so good. I feel like the Lord is always speaking and trying to show us stuff. It's just, are we listening and paying attention?
Yeah. I remember when I was out of church and knew that, you know, I was out of church, and God just brought a scripture to me, and all of a sudden he reminded me that three people were inviting me to church. So I'm here, you know,
that's what
I'm trying to say today. There all three people is from this church that were inviting me, you know, it was just a clear answer. And I think that's why I wanted to mention that today. Just pay attention. God's going to make it very evident.
Right.
So thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Yeah. It's been good to have you, Faith.
Yeah. Thank you all for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Faith Landis's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.